Blog Talk Radio.
To another live show moving forward here on YizerRadio.com. Happy New Year, everybody. 2014 is here. We made it through another year. 2014 is here. I'm not going to be corny like everybody else and talk about all these New Year's resolutions. One thing I'm going to tell you, the main focus for 2014 is helping move my people forward. That is the goal for 2014. It is January 6, 2014. Before we get into tonight's show, I would like to apologize to everybody because last night, I actually was supposed to have been broadcasting last night. But I'm up here in Indianapolis, in my hometown, with my family. And if you haven't been watching the news, you must be under a rock because the weather is horrible. So I wasn't able to do last night's show, so that's why we're doing a Monday night show. So what's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. And once again, I apologize for not being able to broadcast last night. So we're doing tonight's show, but the crazy part about it is almost like the weather is going, I guess, hand in hand with tonight's show, because tonight's show is actually about the rise of homeless in America. And right now, all my prayers go out to anybody out there who's homeless right now in this bearable weather. It's freezing outside. So I hope that everyone is somewhere safe and warm tonight. And also, people who have pets, please bring your pets in too tonight, because it's too cold for anybody or animal, pet, to be outside. Before we get into tonight's show, let me tell you guys how cold it really is outside. Like right now, like I said, I'm broadcasting live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Okay? Right now, it's negative 11 degrees outside. Did you hear me? Negative 11. That's cold as hell. And I know that doesn't match. People always say cold as hell, but then they turn around and say hell is hot. But that's another subject for another day, for another show. But tonight's show, it's going to be a heartfelt show, because this is a rising problem in America. And it's so funny. Our last show that we did in 2013 was actually talking about the rise of unemployment in the United States. But one of the fallouts of the high unemployment rate in the United States is homelessness. It's a rise of homelessness. But this is the thing, that a lot of people that's homeless now are people that was part of the middle class. So a lot of people in the middle class are losing their jobs because they were so-called living the American dream. Then they kind of found out that now they're the homeless, the new homeless. So what we're going to do, we're going to get into tonight's show. I'm going to take a break. And when I get back, we will get started when we get into tonight's show. Once again, this is Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YazerRadio.com. See you guys in a second. To Moving Forward here on YazerRadio.com, live broadcast coming from freezing Indianapolis, Indiana. So let's get into tonight's show. This is how myself and the rest of the country woke up this morning. So check out this clip. This is how cold it is outside tonight, and it's been this cold all day today. It's going to be cold like this couple of days. But tonight we're talking about homeless people, the homeless Americans, the rise of being homeless in America. But first, let's get into this clip.
You're watching America This Morning, America's number one early morning news.
And I'm Mohammed Lila. John Mueller is off today.
And I'm Rena Nine, and in for Diana Perez, we begin with a monster winter storm battering the Midwest and taking aim on the Northeast. Take a look at the radar. That powerful system of Arctic air is coming out of the Central Plains and grabbing moisture from the Gulf of Mexico as it marches toward the East Coast. The snowstorm is already leaving its mark and will eventually affect 21 states. 2014 has begun with an extreme blast of winter weather. A huge storm has been moving across much of the country, bringing with it freezing temperatures and loss of snow. In Minneapolis, temperatures dropped to around zero. Fire crews struggled to deal with a massive blaze following an explosion at an apartment complex. Water used to fight the flames quickly turned to ice in the extreme temperatures. And in Indiana, slippery, snow-covered roads are making travel difficult for drivers. Nearly a foot of snow has already fallen in Chicago, with more expected today. Residents are doing their best to dig out.
It does a job. It's at the steps, it's at the porch, now it's doing the car. you know, make do with what you got right now.
The storm is now headed towards the East Coast and New England, where residents have been preparing for this onslaught of winter weather. New Haven, Connecticut shelters are gearing up to help those who spend much of their time on the streets.
Just come here just to get my rest and stay warm.
In Scituate, Massachusetts, repairs have been made to a seawall that was damaged in a storm last February.
The problem is the tides are just huge. They're the highest that they can possibly be.
And stores like this Lowe's in New Jersey are doing a brisk business as people stock up on shovels and salt to deal with the coming storm. How much you need to stock up or whether you need to stock up at all will depend on where you live.
And for that, we turn to AccuWeather's Jim Dickey. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Rena and Muhammad. A storm system coming together here this morning. Really two separate systems. There's an upper low that's tracking its way out of the nation's midsection. Some tropical moisture here, some Gulf of Mexico moisture that's being drawn northward. You see some dry air in between, keeping the two apart. That won't last. They'll come together as we head through the day. Now, through the daylight hours, we'll see snow stretching.
So that's how cold it is. This is what we woke up to this morning. Here in the United States, it's literally freezing outside. That's why right now, all my prayers and any help or support that I can provide to anyone out there who needs help tonight, that's definitely what I'm doing. And I want anyone out there who listens to the show right now, if there's anyone that you know right now that's out there, family members, elderly family members, or even strangers, anything you could do to help out anyone right now who's out in this bitter cold right now, please do what you can to help them out. Just to show you how serious this weather is right now, let me just go through real quick the current weather right now across the United States. It's right now is 9:12 Eastern Standard Time currently. Chicago right now, it's negative 12 degrees. In Detroit, it's negative 12 degrees. Like I told you, here in Indianapolis, it's negative 11 degrees. Tennessee, 7 degrees. Parts of Cleveland, 15 below zero. The whole state of Kentucky is negative 1. Even down in ATL, my other home, it's 16 degrees. That's how cold it is, people. And that's why tonight we're talking about the rise of homelessness in the United States. Let me go over this article with you guys for a second. Tell y'all something right here. If you didn't know this, more than 600,000 Americans are homeless on a given night. According to the latest government data, which conducts a count of specific nights in January every year, nearly a quarter are children and a third were living in unsheltered places like parks, cars, or abandoned buildings. Did you hear that? We're talking about 600,000 Americans are homeless. This is supposed to be the land of the free, of the plenty? You know, this is the country where you turn on any given night on TV, there's somebody in there buying a $2,000 purse or $1 million car. But we have 600,000 Americans that are homeless. There's countless Americans right now out in the cold because there's no room for shelter, so they're living in a park, a car, or some type of abandoned building. What does that say about us here in this country? You know, let me read some more of this article. The number of people who are chronically homeless or who have been continuously homeless for more than 1 year or experienced at least four episodes over the last three is over 100,000, and two-thirds go unsheltered. There were more than 57,000 homeless veterans. Listen to that for a second, people. There were more than 57,000 homeless veterans. Veterans? Okay. I'm a veteran, okay? And I'm not saying that us veterans are better than anyone else in this country, but I'm a true believer. If you're willing to volunteer your life for our country as a veteran, One thing you should never have to worry about when you come back home is being homeless. There definitely should be all kind of resources for veterans. But we're going to get into the middle class too. But I'm just stuck on the 57,000 homeless veterans right now because I'm a veteran. You know, that really hits home for me. Okay? And all my listeners out there, I apologize if I just jump straight into this subject tonight. I mean, I didn't even warm up the subject. I just jumped straight into it because I think about how cold it is outside. And I think about it, every time I turn on the damn television, there's somebody on there talking about a coach for a football team gets $12, $13 million a year to coach a sport, or a player gets $100 million for playing a sport, but then we have 600,000 homeless people in this country. Then we have 57,000 homeless veterans in this country. So that's why I jump straight into tonight's subject without warming up the subject, because I get attached to my subjects every night, and it's so funny, people. When I put together my shows, right, I do my research, I get my information for my topics of the night, and I'm very calm. I'm very relaxed. Actually, if you can see me in the studio right now, I have my candles burning. You know, I have my incense on. I have my distilled water here. So very calm and serene studio. But then when I start talking about these jacked up subjects that's going on in this country, I get hot and pissed off real quick. I lose my zen moment. So I'm going to calm down a little bit. I'm going to cool off. But when I get back, I got a clip for you. It's a long clip, but it's a clip worth playing because this is something that's hitting home with me, my family members, your family members, to all my listeners, because homelessness is like one of the fastest growing issues in our country. Homelessness is growing faster than jobs being created. So I'm going to take a break, and I get back. I'm going to calm down. I'll see you guys in a minute. This is your man, Dwayne, and you're listening to Moving Forward here on YazzaRadio.com.
Because I just want to love you, baby. I don't want to waste no time. Want to be your only one, baby. Please don't break my heart.
I rode from the dead, Taylor made black linen. Tinted Escalade with a made man in it. Rose gold shades with the rose lenses. Pink champagne in the flow so endless. All I seek is perfection. Ain't no secrets, I'ma eat that for breakfast. Keep her close to me like lyrics she spoke to me. In the middle of the winter, summer, let her close to me.
All these stars out, and these people know my name. I could be so pretentious, but he likes me all the same. And these lights are glowing, but he don't want none. He'd rather chill and hold me. Maybe he could be.
Many American families got caught and are still trapped in the downturn. Ann Curry spent time with families who were supposed to have the American dream, educated, hardworking, with all the trappings of a middle-class life in America. But in a kind of slow-motion way, they have watched themselves become part of a new class of working homeless, something we last saw in the Depression 80 years ago. And as Ann Curry shows us tonight, these families are trying mightily to turn their lives back around.
It's an ordinary school day for 9-year-old Jillian Kennard and her sisters in Johnson City, Tennessee. The Pledge of Allegiance, band practice, a math class. But life for the Kennard sisters is anything but ordinary.
All right, guys, it's time to get up.
Every Sunday, their parents, Patrick and Cindy, wake them before the sun rises. They fold cots.
We still have some more packing to do.
And pack up their lives. Jillian makes sure the birdhouse she built out of popsicle sticks, glitter, and glue isn't left behind. And as evening approaches...
Yeah, we're in the right spot.
For the 11th time in 4 months, they make their way to a Sunday school classroom. In another church. For another week. It might not seem like much, but for the next 7 days, this is where they'll sleep. For the first time in their lives, the Kennard family is homeless.
All right, little bird.
Yeah.
They are the new face of American homelessness. In the wake of the recession, experts say the U.S. stands at a historic juncture.
Morning!
The latest government data show the number of people in homeless families living in suburban and rural America rose nearly 60% during the depths of the Great Recession, an unprecedented surge. More than 1 million schoolchildren are now homeless, the most ever recorded. Children like the Kennard sisters, living a life of uncertainty and sometimes shame.
So the hardest part, people finding out. Sometimes when we're on our way to school, we have to ride over in like a church van, and people can probably see that.
What made you not want to tell everybody else?
I didn't want everybody to laugh at me.
No one knew. You went to school every day. You played with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they went home, what were you thinking?
I felt happy for them because they had a house and I didn't.
But she does have her precious birdhouse. Why do you love it so much?
Because it reminds me of the old house.
The Kennards were typical of many families across the country, working class people pursuing the American dream. They worked hard and built savings accounts. Both have college degrees. But perhaps the most surprising thing about the Kennards is that even now, they are a working family. For the last 7 years, Patrick has worked a full-time job at a bank call center with benefits. And until recently, Cindy worked full-time as a director at a daycare center. Despite the recession, they were getting by.
We're not big spenders. We never have been. We just need the necessities of life.
But then came the unexpected. Patrick developed serious kidney problems. Even with health insurance, medical bills went into the thousands. Their car broke down repeatedly. Then Cindy quit her job because she couldn't afford childcare for her own kids.
It was just like a domino for you.
When we fail hard. And we fail fast.
They downsized from a spacious apartment to a smaller apartment here, but then couldn't afford the rent and were evicted.
Describe the moment.
I wanted to dig a hole and let somebody cover me in.
Jillian took the eviction notice especially hard.
I was scared because I left the house and I didn't want to leave it.
They didn't have relatives to stay with in the area, and they wanted to keep their family together.
We considered going to a campground.
Yeah.
But even camping supplies cost too much.
Then we decided that we would just live out of the van. Then it got repossessed. We didn't know where to go to then.
We're living paycheck to paycheck.
Paycheck to paycheck. There was nothing for savings. There was nothing for
food.
There was nothing for nothing.
And they were forced to make heartbreaking decisions.
One of the hardest things I ever had to do was to sell my wedding band. That ring on my finger meant the world to me.
Do you still have yours?
No. We needed food and gas. So we pawned them.
They got $100 for both rings. Soon the reality of failing to provide for his children sent Patrick into despair.
They didn't do anything to deserve this. They didn't do anything. They're totally innocent.
It's almost too much to bear.
It was.
Then they finally caught a break, getting shelter in those Sunday school classrooms, a program run by the Interfaith Hospitality Network. The Kennard struggle to keep their family together is a fight Darlene Gaines knows well. It wasn't medical bills that triggered her family's downward spiral. She attributes it, in part, to divorce, another major cause of homelessness.
When I saw homelessness, I saw a bomb. Now when I see homelessness, I see my reflection.
Darlene also thought she had done everything right, even taking classes for her master's degree. And she's held a good job with the Veterans Administration for the last 15 years. She had savings, college, and retirement accounts, and a comfortable suburban home for her three sons.
They had never worried about anything. They never had to go into the kitchen and look into empty cupboards. I lived a middle-class life all my life. That's all I knew. I dropped from middle class to no class.
As she struggled to cover her bills by herself, including her student loan, Darlene couldn't keep up with rising food and gas prices.
I just knew that I was drowning, and I was doing everything possible to prevent from drowning. My greatest fear for my children was to take them out of an environment that they knew all their life.
You tried to prolong the life they knew as expensive as it was becoming because you didn't want to hurt them.
You hit the nail on the head.
After using her savings, she couldn't pay her mortgage, and a foreclosure letter soon arrived.
I opened up the letter and I began to read it. And the whole while, I'm in total disbelief.
With her three sons, 15, 16, and 17, Darlene faced the prospect of breaking apart her family because most shelters separate men and women for security reasons. And advocates say there are not enough shelters for the new wave of homeless families.
We had families that were coming in.
Sean Donovan is Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, which funds homeless programs across the country.
What do you say to the families who are living out of their cars, who are living in laundromats, who essentially refuse to let their families be split apart by going into a shelter?
What I would tell them is nobody should have to live like that, and it's wrong.
He acknowledged to us that shelters, which for years served mainly single adults, must now use their funding differently to accommodate the rise in homeless families.
And if they say that the funding, and a large amount of funding comes from HUD, that the funding is not there to support families, what do you say?
I absolutely believe, and the president has fought for, greater investment in homelessness.
Is there enough money being allocated for homeless families?
No, I'm not satisfied that we have the full amount of resources that we need, and we will continue to fight for more.
HUD did spend $1.5 billion in stimulus money on homeless prevention. Now Secretary Donovan says he has an ambitious new plan to reach families before they become homeless, like the Kennard family and Darlene's family.
And, like, on this side here, you see this bed. Yours truly.
Is yours?
Yes.
After months of sleeping on her parents' floor,
What's up? This is your man, Dwayne. And you're listening to Moving Forward here on YazzaRadio.com. Okay. I had to play that clip in its entirety. Very long clip, but the reason why I chose to play that whole clip because I want to let all the listeners out there understand how serious of a problem this homeless thing is here in the United States. Because I can go back maybe 10 years, let's just say 10 years. There definitely was a group of people in this country that took everything for granted. Middle class people. The ones who go out there and got all the credit cards, kept buying a new car every 2 to 5 years, buying homes that they really couldn't afford. But since their credit score said that they can afford the home, they bought the homes. Working jobs, giving their life to companies, falling for that myth of the good job and thinking that company is going to take care of them for the rest of their lives. And pretty much it was all a setup. They set up a lot of American families. It set you guys up to be the families like that was in that clip. Worked hard, had degrees, company folds or move overseas, job been outsourced, and now they're the rising number of homeless people in this country. I'm going to go back to this article, okay? The article is talking about the 600,000 Americans. The article dates back. It gives us, like, numbers from 2007. It gives numbers to 2012, okay? So these numbers are actually higher than the numbers I'm about to say to you guys right now, okay? In this article, it claims that the government says there has been an overall decline in homelessness in this country. They say it's 4% compared to last year, which was 9%, okay? They say that homelessness has dropped 25% since 2007. So that's from 2007 to 2012. Now we're in 2014, okay? But this is the part that they don't say. It's not declining in all the states. And there's five states right now where the homelessness has a huge increase. The five states are California, Florida, Massachusetts, New York, and Texas. Those five states account for more than half of the country's homelessness population. And the numbers are still growing in those five states, okay? Homelessness rose by 11.3% in New York City, by 8.7% in Massachusetts, and by 4.5% in California. That's between 2012 and last year, 2013. Now, we're in our sixth day of 2014. How much higher will those numbers grow this year? Okay. Then, hold on for a second. Other states have a larger jump, okay? Such as 33.1% increase in South Carolina. Maine has a 26% raise in homelessness, okay? Over 20 states saw their rates go up compared to last year, which this is talking about 2012. So we're talking about between 2011 to 2013, okay? 0.1% increase in South Carolina. That's ridiculous. And then, you know, and I sometimes scratch my head and I wonder, like, what's the cause of this rise in the middle class in the homeless sector? You know? And as I did my research, I found out that a lot of these reasons for the high homelessness is because of outsourcing jobs overseas. But then I asked myself another question. How in the hell is that legal for a U.S. company to move 1% of their jobs overseas, but still collect U.S., I guess, funds and profits? They still profit money because most of the services that they're providing are to the citizens of the United States. How the hell is that possible? I can never get into politics because a person like me can get into politics because I think logically, if I'm saying that word right, people, Because my thing is like this. I think there should be a law that if you are a U.S. company, there should be a law that you cannot uproot your company and send all your jobs overseas. I believe that you should not be allowed to send no more than, I would say, 15%. And I think that's high. 15% of your jobs you can send or outsource overseas. You know, because my thing is, how in the world, once again, a U.S. company, let's name it, any call center you call now, you know it's overseas. But it's an American product, but the person who's servicing you is overseas, and they still keep the prices high for the products here in the United States. But then they turn around and outsource the jobs and lay off a bunch of Americans, which is the cause of the high rate of homelessness in this country. I just had to take a moment of silence because I just keep looking over these numbers. I'm looking over these articles. I'm watching news reports. And they just talk about the rise of unemployment and homelessness in the land of the plenty, the home of the brave and the free. The other part that gets me about this whole thing about the rise of homelessness, how cold it is outside. And I pray that there is no one out there in this cold weather tonight. I pray that everyone has a place to go. Okay, but one thing that's good about Yaza Radio, we're going to talk about the problem, but we always give you some solutions. So anyone who's out there listening right now, we're going to talk about some solutions to this rising problem in the United States. And if you're just tuning in, let me just remind you, tonight we're talking about the homeless problem here in the United States because it's freezing outside. And right now, the United States have over 1,600,000 homeless Americans. I'm taking a break. I'll be back in a second. Thank you guys for tuning in. Right now you're listening to Moving Forward here on YazaRadio.com. I'm your man, Dwayne Abernathy. Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881. Or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
Watching you take heaven to
Hey, what's up? What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and you listen to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com. Tonight, we are talking about the rise of homelessness here in America. And if you're just tuning in, this is the crazy part. Tonight's show was already prearranged, had nothing to do with the weather. I didn't even know what the weather was going to be like tonight before I decided that tonight was going to be tonight's topic. But it just goes hand in hand. That just shows you that we have our, we're close to the consciousness of this show and this station, to show that we're keeping our eye on people and doing what we can to move our people forward. But as I was going through my research for tonight's show, there's this new thing, let me see, of the homeless people, of the homeless in America. They're called, what are they called? The mobile homeless. This was a word, this is what gets me about this country. And I'm not bashing my country. I love the United States. I'm talking about the rich people, the wealthy people. They create words. They always got to create a word to label someone or a person. So there's actually a term out there called the mobile homeless. Listen to this clip. And we're going to talk about the mobile homeless. Like, really? The mobile homeless? Like I said, they come up with a word for everything. So check out this clip, and we're going to get back into this conversation of the rise of homelessness in the United States.
Nowhere in America says success like Santa Barbara. Money and fame buys you a place in the sun on the American Riviera, but by night, this city reveals a crisis taking hold of America's middle class, an epidemic of homelessness. James Frangella's Santa Barbara home is his Ford van, his whole life inside. When he lost his job, the road from respectable middle-class life to here was a short one.
I had my own home, and I had a good job, and I lost the job, I lost my home, and never in a million years would a guy like me think he would end up living in a vehicle. I mean, the thought wouldn't even cross your mind, and here I am. It's been my entire life now for 4 years. I feel like that I don't have a home to go to. I don't have a place to hang up my clothes, and I don't, you know. The reality is here. You know, this is my life.
James is lucky to have a spot in a program which allows the so-called car sleepers to use council car parks overnight. Otherwise, it's illegal to sleep in a vehicle here. So as well as James's van, there's someone sleeping in the vehicle next to it, another one over in the corner there. Here, a state car, a van, a pickup truck, a saloon car over there, two more on the other side of this car park, a total of 9 people sleeping in their vehicles in this car park tonight. A few years ago, it was just a handful of people taking advantage of this program. Tonight, across Santa Barbara, more than 150, and a waiting list of people desperate to get a place somewhere like this.
Every day people call me and say, you know, if it isn't a family or a single man or an elderly person, I lost this, I've got evicted, I lost my house, I lost my job, I lost my business, I lost everything.
And she says America's ignoring the problem.
The American dream is the American nightmare. The truth of it is nobody's acknowledging that this is an issue and it's going to become our epidemic. Homelessness is an epidemic in our country.
It's estimated 60% of those living on the streets in America sleep in vehicles. They're drawn here by the climate.
We had 2 little bean bags that sat here, but we are kind of limited on space.
Not long ago, Jamie's family home was a large house in Utah. No work means it's now this camper van in another Santa Barbara car park.
Even people who currently have jobs who are like, we are a paycheck away from this situation. This economy is so difficult and people are drowning. And they literally, I mean, are month to month, do not know where they're, what's going to happen to them.
They all say it's amazing how quickly you can end up living like this and how much harder it is even to begin the journey back. Greg Milam, Sky News.
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and you listen to Moving Forward here on YazzaRadio.com. That was the other term I couldn't think of before I played the clip. Car sleepers. They actually have a word, car sleepers. And the definition is Americans living in their vehicles after losing their homes in the financial crisis. There's a definition called home sleepers. Common words or statements that you hear out of all the clips I played tonight where they were saying, people are saying words like, I didn't think it was ever could happen to me. I always thought it would happen to the other guy. I didn't think in a million years that I would be homeless. But the crazy part about it, the average working class, middle class American or family, they're literally two paychecks away from being homeless. They're literally two paychecks away from sleeping and living in their car. Especially if you live in a place or a city that you don't have any family around. Trust me, I've been there. I know. I've experienced this myself personally. Heck, I can think of many a times being an entrepreneur and business gets slow. And if something doesn't happen soon, I lose it all. So it happens for the working class, and it also happens to the small business owners. But this last clip that I just played, I can remember seeing a story on 60 Minutes. I would say it was probably about sometime last year, and it was talking about the car sleepers. And actually, out in California, there's parking lots. There's like retail companies, like say for us, like grocery stores that's not open 24 hours or whatever, they actually allow people to park their cars there and sleep there overnight until the next morning before they, open for business. They're like sleeping parking lots. You know, they authorize these people who have their vehicles that they can pull up at night, you know, when they're closed for business, and they get to sleep in a so-called safe place to sleep. I did some more research on the car sleepers. It says in this article that I found, it says, it is estimated as many as 60% of those living on the streets in America sleep in their car, in their vehicles. So it's almost like a domino effect. It's almost like they lose their home. Then, if they own their car, they live in their car until their car breaks down, then they live out in the streets or to a shelter. It's like you lose everything. You know, and that's what that's the definition of being rock bottom. But this is the crazy part. A lot of these people in the middle class, it's a slap in the face because all that they could think of rock bottom was could be for drug addicts or alcoholics, you know, so they want to call them words like bums and things like that, you know, very derogatory terms, okay? But now they're living the experience. So they go and create more soft and romantic terms like car sleepers. You know, there's a lot of people out there now are forced to be homeless. And it's a huge, huge issue. But who's really out there helping the people who's being homeless? You know, think about the politicians. Are they really, you know, putting laws on the books to help homeless people? No. You know what they're doing? They're building prisons to make money off homeless people. They're turning homeless people into criminals. You know, you have a guy out there that they title him a panhandler. He's out there asking for money. You know, everybody out there panhandling isn't a drug addict or alcoholic. okay? He's out there asking for money, you know. But many, many big cities around the country now are making panhandling illegal. So guess what happens now? They turn the homeless into criminals, which can go into their corporate-owned prisons, so they can put them to pretty much legalize modern-day slavery. So think about that. You went from having a job where you're making over $100,000. The big corporations can legally take your job, send it overseas. You're not making the money to take care of your family. You become homeless. How are you going to take care of your family? So you might even have to, you know, start panhandling. It's illegal. You go to jail. And then you put into modern-day slavery. Come on, people. Tell me this is not a well-orchestrated plan. This isn't a coincidence. Come on now. But the thing is, where's our politicians at? They say always, especially in our community, they all talk about, go out and vote. Go out and vote. Vote, vote, vote. Vote for what? What am I voting for? Can somebody please, if somebody can call me right now at 347-884-8705, call me right now and tell me if I vote, how is that going to help the rise of homelessness in this country? Yes, I know I'm going off on a tangent talking about voting, but I'm just thinking about it. There's so much money and power in this country, but there's a rise of homelessness in this country, the land of the plenty. So we're going to get on another subject, like I always say, another subject for another day for a future show. We're going to get on that voting thing. I'm getting back, getting focused, Dwayne. This was so funny, though. I can show you guys a trend of homelessness, how it's on the rise. And what's so funny about our country, they always want to divide things up by a color designation. And once I hope I said the word, I never told you guys I was the world's best when it comes to certain words. But anyway, they used to break up the working class into two categories. You was either a white collar worker or a blue collar worker. They claim that these terms came from way back in 1911 when it came to with the uniforms that was worn to work. So the blue-collar worker was like the laborers, the ones who worked in the coal mine, because they had on blue, what do they call them? Not corduroys. What are they called? I can't think of the name of them. Coveralls. There we go. Coveralls. Whew. They used to work in coveralls. You know, so the ones out there working hard, you know, coal miners in the steel mills, auto plants, you know, those people were called the laborers. It was called blue collar workers. Okay? The hard work. Then the white collar workers were management, the owners, people to work doing the administrative stuff, you know, the soft work, you know, the stuff that's, you know, no hard back-breaking work. Those were considered white-collar workers. Okay? So, as time went on, especially in the auto industry and the steel mills, especially in the Midwest and the East Coast or whatever, automation came, robots, electronics, start closing a lot of plants, a lot of steel mills and automotive plants. There goes a majority of your blue-collar jobs. And unfortunately, most of my people in my community worked blue-collar jobs. So that means a lot of people in my community started losing that so-called good job. So, we started having a rise of homelessness in our community. So, instead of the politicians, our government, the big corporations, figuring out a way to, like, let's save some of these blue-collar jobs, they decided they want to turn our people into criminals. Let's send drugs into those neighborhoods and those communities that we just took the jobs from. Let's create mandatory minimum laws so we can make sure that we can send majority of these people in these communities that we put the drugs in and send them to prison. And then let's privatize these prisons by corporations so we can give them modern-day slavery. Come on, people. Come on, people. I'm not making this up. Like they used to say old school, if I'm lying, I'm flying. If you think I'm, if you tell me that what I just said is not true, call me right now at 347-884-8705. Okay? So let's fast forward, let's say 25 years, from the 80s to the 2000s, okay? They were saying, they started thinking like, you know what? We can't lock up no more, too many more black and brown people. But we built all these prisons. We need a new clientele. Who's left? Yes. You guys out there make the statements like, I never thought in a million years it would be me. So what do they do in your communities? Most of you blue collar, no, you white collar workers out there. They start outsourcing your jobs overseas. They also created a drug problem in your community too called meth. Look at the rise of meth in a lot of communities around this country, the suburbs and the rural areas of the country. Now, a lot of those kids are going to jail and to prison. A lot of those white-collar workers are now homeless or so-called the car sleepers. And I'm not making a distinction between races here because homelessness doesn't care what color you are. All I'm just saying, people, take notice of what's been going on for the past 50 years. How is it possible that we went from being the number one country in manufacturing, we've been the number one country in technology, and all of a sudden a high percentage of our people, black or white, Asian or Hispanic, Americans, this is what I try to get people to understand, Americans, creed has no color. So the greed has taken over, and now we're all in the same boat. So if anyone out there right now call yourself wanting to be prejudiced, anyone out there right now who want to call yourself better than somebody else, I got some news for you. We are all in the same boat together, and it's sinking. I got to take a break, people. I went on a tangent. I just went all over the place with that one. But I just want you to think about it. Right now, if you somebody who's been working somewhere for the past 10 years and you notice a lot of your peers or family members losing their jobs or been downsized in a company or have degrees and not working in the fields that they went to school for, but their debt is so high, they coming for you too, baby. They coming for you. And if you thought that you was out there, that you was untouchable, you could be homeless. Two paychecks away, you could be homeless. Be back in a second. It's your man, Dwayne, and you're listening to Moving Forward here on YaiserRadio.com. Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
I worked and worked till I'm half dead, and I hear people saying she's getting old. And what do I get?
I need a little reverb.
A daughter! Who cares as much about the beautiful dresses I give her as she cares about me?
Let's do this for these babies. Mercedes, truck up, houses on acres. Blakey ballin' on HD. Y'all need to step up your AV. Life changed again, I was already taking off. My flight changed again, flight change wins. It's barely 12 noon and my wife changed again. Baby needs pampers. Daddy need at least 3 weeks in the Hamptons. Please don't judge me. Only hug the block as though my daddy didn't love me. My baby getting chubby. Cue that Stevie Wonder music. Oh, isn't she lovely? Now I'm staring at her, praying that things don't get ugly. And I'm stuck in that old cycle, like wife, please hug me. Oh, joint custody. I need a joint right now, just to sort of loan folks with me. High on life. I could die from the fall. Imagine if I hit the floor. Apologies in order. The blue, I need my daughter. If it was up to me, you would be with me. Short of life, daddy, dearest.
This ain't my first time at the rodeo.
I dream filthy, my mom and pops mix me with Jamaican rum and whiskey. What a set off. And I know I'm not perfect, baby. I've been so much trauma, gonna be hard to reverse it with some doctors and some nurses, maybe. Teach me how to treat a lady, open doors on the ladies. This relationship, this shit's complicated. All I know is we...
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You're listening to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com. Tonight's show, this is actually our first show for 2014. It just dawned on me. I'm like, because I forgot. We were supposed to broadcast last night, but due to weather, we didn't get a chance to do last night's show. And just update on weather, it is still... negative 11 here in Indianapolis. It's cold as hell. Anyway, tonight, we're talking about the rise of homelessness in the United States. I'm going to tell you guys a story. I can remember it was spring break many moons ago. I went on a spring break trip to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, right? And they were taking us now. Let me tell you guys. I came from Indianapolis, Indiana. Very, very humble beginnings. Indianapolis is pretty much a big country town. So it was my first time out to the East Coast. Went out to D.C. When I went to D.C. on my seventh grade spring break, my eyes to there's a world out here that I was not aware of. We was going on a tour around the city on a tour bus. And I was so naive. I was sitting in the front, I'll never forget. And I noticed a lot of people were sleeping outside on the sidewalk under blankets and cardboard boxes and everything. And I remember asking the bus driver, like, why are they sleeping outside? What are those people doing sleeping outside? I was naive, like I said, I was only in seventh grade, right? And the bus driver told me, those are homeless people. That was the first time in my life I ever saw a homeless person. It was a trip, seventh grade spring break, D.C., our nation's capital. That was over 30 years ago. Yeah. And this is what he told me, the bus driver now. He said, but all those people that's living out there are not living out there by choice. Some of them are forced to be homeless. Everyone's not alcoholics or drug addicts. This is what the bus driver told me in seventh grade. He schooled me. He educated me. He opened up my eyes. And that's why I feel that it's very important, if you can't afford it, for your kids to travel or teach your children the real truth about what's going on in this world and quit filling their head up with fantasies like Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, and BS like that. But he told me that a lot, even some of the people that are homeless are the people with some type of mental illness. So I'm going to play this clip because this is a group of people that's been homeless in this country for years, and they get kicked to the curb. Like, there's really not too many programs out there to support the mental illness homeless people in this country. Check out this clip. I'll be back in a second.
David Marco is mentally ill and needs medication. He says he wants to kill himself, but he just can't do it.
Nobody cares.
For 15 years, he lived under an oak tree in Knoxville, Tennessee. Then Caroline Carter found him, helped him sober up, and moved him into this rundown motel, which he pays for by working odd jobs. But he's still depressed and delusional. Now he's started drinking again. Carter's urgently trying to get Marco the medication he needs. Without it, she says, like so many in his situation, he's almost certain to end up back on the street.
So once we get them in housing, if we can't then connect them with services, I mean, who knows how long they'll last just before getting evicted.
That's because most U.S. homeless shelters only take in people who are deemed mentally stable, don't offer psychological services. Those with mental illnesses are often turned away.
It's estimated in the United States that more than 50% of the people living on the streets are dealing with mental illness. And of that number, less than half are receiving any treatment.
For years, Candace Wood was one of them.
I was just walking around aimlessly, but I was sick. But I was sick because I didn't take the medicine.
Wood is bipolar. She used to break into buildings to stay warm, hoping it would also get her arrested. She knew in jail she'd get the meals and medication she needed.
Three hots and a cot, you get that in jail. And so for them, jail is their mental health hospital. Jail is their housing.
So at this volunteer ministry center, residents get housing and mental health treatment. But so many others, like Marco, do not get the care they need and struggle. Like Carter, won't stop trying to help.
Why do people want me to stick around? Can't they do it?
Well, sometimes we need you.
But as long as the needs of the mentally ill in the U.S. go unmet, their battle with chronic homelessness will go on. Kimberly
Halkett. What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You're listening to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com. Mentally ill. There's a lot of people out there who are homeless or mentally ill, and there's very few programs out there to help them. So what do? Their last resort, like the lady said, they found a way to go to jail. So they pretty much not going to jail to get treatment. They trying to go to jail to have three hots and a cot, a place to sleep, place to eat. I'm looking at an article here, and it says, there's a report between 2009 and 2012, states cut a total of $4.3 billion in public mental health spending from their budget. South Carolina, wow, popped up again. South Carolina cut nearly 40% of its budget for mental health. In Illinois, it was close to 32%. Now, this is the crazy part. Remember those five states that I mentioned earlier in tonight's program? Some of those states are also, let me rephrase. Hold on, let me start. There are one or two type of places. They either a state that had high customer service type industry there, or a blue-collar state, high working force, or they're one of the countries, they're one of the states that cut their mental health budget. I can remember growing up in Indianapolis, Indiana. There used to be a mental health hospital. I can't think of the name of it right now, but I can remember years ago, I came home to Indianapolis to visit. And I can remember on the news, they were saying, closing down the mental health hospital. And they pretty much was like letting the people who was in the hospital free, just out in the community. It's the only place for them to go, especially if they've been there for years, is going to the jail or the prison system and get no type of help. Back to the article I was just discussing. Last month, Hawaii News reported that 60% of its homeless people were mentally ill. 60%. In Roanoke, Virginia, 70% of its homeless people had mental health problems. Now, think about this. You have somebody out there who needs help, who needs treatment. Then they're homeless, don't have shelter, need food to eat. Then you have another group of people who are middle class, not used to pretty much surviving on half of an income that they was making or not making an income at all. And they're homeless. So what's one of the results of that? The rise in violence. Violence is one example that's a result of the high homeless in this country. So you wonder why crime is rising in the country. But unfortunately, I try to avoid this every night. But unfortunately, race falls into place because there's always somebody on TV, somebody always on the radio talking about in the black community, black on black crime, and crime is high and drugs are high in the black community. But they never talk about some of the causes of the poverty in the black community. So now that we have more middle class people being homeless and they're mixed with the mentally ill that the states and cities have already kicked to the curb, now crime is rising all over the place. Now it's a national issue. Now we need to talk about it more in the news. But this has been going on, unfortunately, people, in my community for years. So is it a time to point blame? Or is it time to finally realize in this country that we're all the same? A human is a human. A family is a family. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, Asian, Hispanic. But I'm going to show you how the powers that be are constantly, no matter what's going on in this country, constantly doing the divide and conquer method. When I was doing my research for tonight's show, I ran across this clip. I'm going to have to play it because I'm like, really? Are you really making a distinction of race? So I'm going to show you the mind state of a lot of people still in this country. And I'm also show you the mind state of some of the powers that be today. No matter what, they're going to always find a way to make race an issue no matter what's going on in this country. So check out this clip. It's crazy.
Calgary is looking like it has more potholes than paved paths these days. The Associated Press released a survey saying as much this week when it found that 4 out of 5 adults struggle with joblessness, near poverty, or reliance on welfare programs for at least part of their lives. Here's what else it discovered. The country's poor remains at a record high with 46.2 million people, or 15% of the population, living below the poverty level. And if you're wondering what that poverty level is, it means that they have an income for a family of four of less than $23,000 a year. And this issue is not confined to minorities. According to the survey, 76% of white Americans will experience some sort of economic insecurity by age 60. Now, of the 46 million living below that poverty line at the moment, almost half, or 19 million, are white. Here to help me break down the numbers in greater detail, RT producer Rachel Curzius and Prime Interest host Bob English join me now.
Hey there.
Bob, I thought we were on the road to recovery. What's going on?
Why would you think that?
I don't know. President Obama said so, Bob.
Okay, some of those statistics look good, but it's kind of a mixed bag, and here's why. You look at unemployment statistics, and if you're out of a job for as long as a month, you don't get counted in them. And the jobs that we're seeing today are of vastly lower quality than they were before. We're looking at jobs increases in retail sector, in the hospitality sectors, and a lot of this is just part-time work. So the quality of jobs is not what it used to be. And then the actual full-time paying jobs are in construction, and we're seeing another manipulated housing boom. Mortgage rates are rising, and we're going to have a fall in that sector as well. So it's not going to look pretty, I would say, a year out from now.
Those are some very ominous predictions, Bob.
And just to add to that, I think it's important to think that we are on the road to some sort of recovery, but the idea that the recovery we're looking at is going to be the same as something we had in the past is kind of misleading. When people have new jobs, these jobs, as Bob said, are going to be in manufacturing, fast food work, things of that nature. And you can sense even the fact that fast food workers have risen in their median age. It shows that this is no longer a stepping stone to a job for teenagers. This is now full-term employment for people who just don't have other options.
Exactly.
Rachel, can you break down some of these statistics in a little bit more depth for our viewers? There's obviously a lot of them in this survey.
Yeah, there definitely are. And I think that, as you said, the most eye-catching one, that 4 out of 5 Americans are on the brink of poverty, is one that I think deserves a lot of our attention, especially if you think about what the definition of near poverty means here, right? We're talking about people who have experienced unemployment, have a year or more of government reliance for things like food stamps or something like that, or have an income below 150% of the poverty line. Yeah. So that's a pretty wide definition that we're talking about.
I just want to add one thing to that, because it says experiencing unemployment at some time during their working lives. I think that's just kind of to generate headline statistics. Things are bad enough. You don't need to goose it with those kinds of, broad numbers.
But at the same time, when people are facing unemployment, that is being on the brink. I mean, there's no necessary understanding that when you lose a job that you're going to be getting another one. So even though it may be, a headline, I'm catching statistic, at the same time, it's very real for 4/5 of Americans at some point in their lives.
Certainly.
And it's a very scary reality for those 4/5 of Americans, or 4 out of 5. Now, Bob, you had talked about it a little bit more, but the Help Wanted Index is at a record high. So what about these unemployment people going?
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Everett. You listening to Moving Forward here on YazzaRadio.com. I try so freaking hard every freaking night when I do my radio show to not sit up there and sound like the angry black man or being a rebel without a cause, being whatever term that you can throw at me. But the whole purpose of Yaiser Radio and Yaiser is to show that we need to move forward in the community no matter how hard the powers that be try to keep us from moving forward. Now, tonight's subject was about the rise of homelessness in the United States. Tonight's show was the rise of middle-class Americans losing their jobs, losing their homes, families getting broken up. But the powers that be still have the audacity to try to figure out a way to throw a race separation into a thing like homelessness. If you listen to that clip that I just played, they were saying terms like 76% of white families will experience some form of unemployment or homelessness in the next few years. But before I get far into this, let me let everybody know who's out there listening right now. I'm not about to bash white people. That's not what our show is all about. Our show is about informing people of be careful of what you're listening to and what you believe and understand what's going on around you. Like I told you, if you're someone out there that you feel that you want to be racist, if you're black and want to be racist against white people, if you white want to be racist against black people, you are a freaking fool because the powers of me don't give a damn if you're black or white. So stop being an idiot. Now I'm going to go back to this clip. They pretty much said, they started out saying whites. But if you listen to their conversation, they changed the word to Americans. So in their eyes, you're only considered an American if you're white, if you listen to them, okay? Because they said 4 out of 5 Americans are in threat of being homeless or unemployed. Well, in my community, 4 out of 5 have been unemployed or homeless for at least my 43 years that I've been living on this earth. But now all of a sudden, since the middle class, which is mostly, I hate to say, people outside of my community, are losing their jobs and homes, now it's news. Now it's headline news. Now it's evening news. Now it's front page news. This is nothing new, people. This has been going on for years. But this clip just bothered me so much because they just made a distinction to pretty much cancel out anybody else who's been homeless in this country that's non-white. Dude, that's so bad about that clip. But then, in the same clip, they talk about they discrediting jobs for people who work in the fast food industry. You know, they call that the new jobs. They said words like, those jobs are stepping stone jobs. There's people who's been working in the hospitality industry or food industry, taking care of their families for years, for decades, for generations. And so there's still these people who make these reports, and the powers that be let these people say this crazy rhetoric. Yes, I said that word. And there's people out there who believe the hype still. There's people out there, I can remember, man, watching this article, and some people in Mississippi was like, we're not going to take any help from the United States government. Well, we're not going to take any help from Obama, President Obama, that is, because he's pretty much a black man, but they'd rather watch their kids not eat. They'd rather be homeless before they take help from a black president. And like I said, every night I try to not get into a race conversation, but I have to address these things that's out in the media. So I'm going to play another clip, right? For starters, I'm going to counter that clip. I'm going to play a clip for you guys, let you know this is what's been going on in my community. But on the news, it's considered, you know, pretty much that's how these people live. They're just animals. So check out this clip. This is what's been going on in my community for, I know, the 47 years I've been living. So you people that made that report, you so full of crap. And whoever you work for, you allow them to brainwash you, because, believe it or not, you can easily become one of these middle-class homeless people. I need for everybody to think about, there's no separation between black and white when it comes to being homeless. There's no separation between black and white when it comes to being hungry. There's no separation between black and white when it comes, well, it isn't now when it comes to unemployment. But check out this clip. This is what's been going on in my community. So we've been the 4 out of 5 for a while now.
Chicago, at first glance, a picture-perfect city. But what happens with a sneak peek behind a facade and a flip of this postcard? The gap between the rich and poor in Chicago is extremely visible. Well-off neighborhoods such as this one are just a hop and skip away from places where struggle is dense in the atmosphere. This is one of the most dangerous neighborhoods in Chicago, filled with countless streets like this one, where rows and rows of devastated homes hold thousands of people for whom every single day is a struggle. What doesn't live here is hope.
Most people think that is all of Chicago, and that's gorgeous Chicago, but there is still an 85% of the city that they haven't seen.
Born and raised in Chicago, Sati works several jobs to keep up. The city falling to its knees is a personal pain for him.
This is a neighborhood that was full of factories and industry, and once industry died, so did this neighborhood.
A pattern seen in much of Illinois. In the last decade, over 200,000 jobs in manufacturing went down the drain. Life is especially tough for Chicago's black community, with 1 in 3 African-American men in their early 20s unemployed. Men like Chris.
Yeah, it's been tough trying to get a job and stuff. It's been real tough.
Overall, African-American joblessness in Chicago is over 20%, more than twice the white rate.
There's no job. You know, I don't care what kind of education you got. Some people just don't have a job. Can't find anything. And that's bad.
Over on the other side of the tracks is a lot of drugs. And a lot of people have turned to drugs. A lot of people turn to selling drugs.
Locals explain it's done here to get by. Robbery is also at a peak.
Trying to, you know, get something they could pawn to get money off of. Any way they make money, they'll do it.
For many, it's a vicious circle. Having paid for his crimes, 6 months out of jail, Daryl Bass is back where he started, fighting for a job.
The government is falling short. Just that simple. Lip service, that's what that is. I'm saying, they say one thing, and then when it trickles down, it's nothing there.
What is there? Heroin use and record-high binge drinking. Chicago holds the top spot in the U.S. Food pantries are working nonstop as hunger intensifies, but supplies are short.
Oh, my goodness. It's almost to the point where it's unexplainable. But it's such a increase of demand of food for hunger in Chicago because of the economy being the way it is.
The number of families living in poverty now stands at an astounding 45%, almost half the population. Many of those going hungry are kids. 1 in 3 children in Chicago are said to live below the poverty line.
I'm quite sure there are homeless children in the building. You're not supposed to, I guess, let staff know if they are or not.
Over the last year, income rates here have dropped by more than 10%, making it harder for entire generations of families to stay afloat.
Some are embarrassed or, you know, too proud to speak about it. It starts from the kids and it goes all the way up to our seniors, you know, and they have the same issues.
From young to old, the hometown of the American president is filled with sorrow that's already too deep to ignore. Anastasia Churkin.
What's up, what's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernethy. You're listening to Moving Forward here on Yonza Radio. I played that clip to prove a point. The powers that be, they choose to continue to play this racial separation. But the people that got on there doing reports and believe a lot of these reports are so naive because now they're boo-hooing, crying, oh, boo-hoo, woo-hoo-hoo. It's hitting home now. But in that clip that I just played, we've been having this problem for generations in my community. Generations. And there has been very little outreach to help our community. What they do, they turn our community problems into crimes, make it sound like the dangerous streets in America. What did they say in the article? The most dangerous street in Chicago. You know what I'm saying? Got to survive. But instead of helping, they the way of survival, doing what they had to do, but then guess what? That sent them to prison. They're not worth saving. Those communities, look, what did they say? 200,000 jobs, manufacturing jobs. What did I tell y'all guys earlier in tonight's program? White collar jobs, blue collar jobs. 200,000 jobs is gone. Where did they go? Help me understand, because every time I go out on these streets on the highways of Atlanta, Georgia, it's back-to-back traffic. They're not making less cars. When I go to Chicago, it's back-to-back traffic in Chicago. Plenty of cars in Chicago. You go to Los Angeles, New York, you go anywhere, there's cars all over the place. Where are they making the cars at? 200,000 jobs gone? Come on, man. Skyscrapers. They building football stadiums in all the major cities around the country. Got an NFL team. There's jobs. There's jobs. But guess what? The people that they tell my people to go out there and march and vote for, but they ain't doing ish for our people, our community. But then they have the audacity to try to play the race thing, and now all of a sudden it's a major problem now because white people are losing their jobs and homes now. I feel their pain. I feel sorry for them, too. But don't get on national TV and do special news reports all of a sudden talking about a rise for homeless in America, 4 out of 5 Americans. Americans, we're all Americans. I don't care if you're black, Asian, Hispanic, if you're born in this country, or if you are you here illegally, you're an American. Think as a black homeless person or white homeless. You're homeless. They piss me off with this stuff, man. I'm telling you. Let's get together, people. In my community especially, we got to get together. We had to move forward, people. Let's move forward, people.
Bird eyes, that your love comes sweet. Only you can.
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You're listening to Moving Forward here on YazzaRadio.com. And tonight, we're talking about the rise of homelessness because it's cold as hell outside. I'm broadcasting live from Indianapolis, Indiana. It's so funny. Not to change the subject, you know, I live in Indianapolis and I live in Atlanta, so I'm broadcasting from my birthplace home. That's what I'm going to call it tonight. Anyway, we're talking about a serious subject tonight. We're talking about the homelessness, the rise of homelessness in America. We're talking about the loss of the middle class in this country. And a lot of people are homeless but still have jobs because everybody's jobs have been downsized because people aren't making the money they used to. Let our topic win another course because the powers that be are still trying to do this divide and conquer whites versus blacks thing. So we're on a segment talking about that when it comes to being homeless or losing your job in today's world, now it's everybody's problem. It's not a black problem. It's not a white problem. But I'm going to show you how powerful the media is because they have some of these people still so brainwashed that no matter, even after they're homeless, they still believe in the good old boy method. I'm going to play this last clip, and then you know what? I'm going to put this race thing to bed because, to me, it's a bunch of BS, but I'm just letting everybody know out there that we have to be careful because the powers that be are still going to try to find a way but separate it when it comes to race.
Jersey, who has been living a solid middle-class lifestyle, making six figures. Then, in an instant, it was gone. They joined the working poor. Their story has become all too common in America, and our Poppy Harlow went back to see how they're doing now.
How dramatic was the decline?
It was almost instantaneous.
Unwilling to show their faces, but wanting to share their story, this family went from living on $130,000 a year to just $15,000. The father watched his six-figure telecom job of 20 years go to India.
In the white-collar world for 2 years or 2.5 years, I banged my head against it. Doesn't want me back.
The unemployment ran out, and the savings.
Like, the first thing I talked about was food and how we were going to be eating more macaroni and cheese.
We wanted to know how family is doing now. So we came back here to middle-class suburban New Jersey 6 months later to find out.
Did you ever think it'd be this long?
No. Nope.
I thought for sure that he'd go right back into the corporate world within a month or two.
But it's been 4 long years, and they're still barely making it on an $18,000 income. United Way says it takes $60,000 a year for a family of four to get by here.
I went from making $10 an hour selling shoes, and now I'm in a janitorial supply company, making about $14, $15 an hour.
The good news is it's at a small business that's growing. But since they're making a little more...
They gave us less food stamps, so that's more out of our paycheck. It's the health insurance for the kids that's my main concern.
Is it still tough, though?
Yes.
Here's their reality. Unable to sell their house, they stopped paying the mortgage in 2009. They expect to be evicted any day. Their 18-year-old won't be going to college next year.
I don't have the money to do it, and I just don't want to get a loan and be in debt for a while.
They still rely on the food pantry.
Only one box really feeds, like, maybe 2-3 people. This is the worst we've ever seen.
Morris County's food stamp caseload is up 240% since 2007.
Is there a sense of desperation now?
Yes.
They thought they had the American dream, you know? And suddenly, here they are, applying for food stamps and Medicaid.
Dad wants new leadership and a plan to create jobs.
For Mitt Romney, yeah.
Why?
One thing is it changes the current structure. So, you know, anything, get rid of the incumbent and move on to somebody else.
But Mom's had it with politics.
They'll never feel it. They'll be taken care of the rest of their lives. I don't see how they can possibly change things for people if they don't know what it feels like to be in the situation.
Through it all, though, perspective.
There's a lot of other people who are a lot worse off than we are.
And when the family does lose their home, they tell me they're going to stay with friends and family until they can save up enough money to eventually, hopefully, get an apartment. But here's what really stood out to me, Alina. I asked both the mother and the father if they believe that one day they will get back to that level they were at, become middle class once again. Neither of them believe that that is possible at this point. And as you heard, when it comes to politics, they're not sure if new leadership can change the situation for them at all. Alina?
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and you're listening to Moving Forward here on YazzaRadio.com. Tonight, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the rise of homelessness in America. Because it's so cold outside. Once again, my prayers go out to anyone out there who's out in the cold. Pray that you find somewhere warm tonight. This last topic that we're talking about with the homeless, there's a rise of the loss of white collar jobs. So that's the new hot topic in this country. There's been a loss of blue collar jobs for over the past 30 years in this country. So now the middle class is slowly going away. So we have a lot of more, just keeping it real, white homeless people in the country. So now it's important. But like I've been saying all night, it's not about black or white. And it just bothers me that the powers that be are trying to make a distinction between black and white. And some of the people that they interview, and there's still a group of people out there in this country right now who still don't get a clue. It's about the haves and the haves not. Because in that clip alone, that man was homeless. Family doesn't have a place to live. He went from making $130,000 a year to $15,000 a year. The job was outsourced to India. Been working in this industry at that job for 20 years. And this dumbass still don't get it. He's up there talking about President Obama. He's still talking about Democrats and Republicans. Does he realize that before President Obama, a Democrat was president? There was a Republican president for, 8 years? And people were losing their jobs? These jobs didn't start getting lost when President Obama became president, idiot. You serious? But I'm glad his wife is starting to, what do they say, the little thing, just seeing the truth. So if you're someone out there right now and still believe that it's a politician's fault, one single politician's fault, that you're losing your home and losing your job, you are naive. It's politics. It's politicians. It's political parties. That's the reason why you're losing your job. You're losing your home. Because they allow companies to outsource American jobs overseas. So the politicians don't give a damn about you. So for you out there who are not from my community, quit being naive and quit allowing them to feed that poison to you and still think that you're better than the rest of us. We're all Americans. We're all Americans. And we're all in trouble right now. And as for the people in my community, we have to really, really consider find an industry that we can claim our own to help our people out. Because if we're still waiting for the government to help us, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So for the past hour and 40 minutes, I have 12 minutes left on the show. I talk about the problem of homelessness. But like I said, every night we move forward. So here's some tips. If you have a family, friend, member, even a stranger that you want to help out that's homeless or a family, if you can afford it, here's some ideas. Sponsor a homeless family. Sponsor a homeless family member or friend. For starters, take a couple hours out the week and help them find a shelter. Most cities have different shelters. You know, you could check with the Salvation Army, local churches, homeless services, or just look at this phone book. And the reason why I'm saying how we can help out by sponsoring a family is because, believe it or not, they spend their whole day trying to survive. But if you can take a couple hours out your day to help them out, that would be so helpful to them, almost more helpful than even if you write them a check. Another way that you can help someone out that's homeless or homeless family, go and pay and get a prepaid cell phone or sponsor a phone for them. You can go to in Atlanta, we have Metro PCS. You have a lot of prepaid phone services for $50 a month. So could you imagine if you go to someone who's in need right now and tell them that you're going to sponsor their phone for the next year? Because it's just as simple as a cell phone, that would help a homeless person arrange for transportation, make appointments to find a job so they could secure appointments. Just think about it. Contact the help agencies, because there's no pay phones no more out there. So imagine if you, as simple as sponsoring a homeless person's cell phone. You know, we're not talking about getting them all the smartphones, stuff like that. We're just talking about just giving them, because one thing that I do know from the beginning of time with men, communication is the key. You can, especially I know I have a lot of friends right now who work in the medical field. They could put together a list of helpful information. They can put together a list of free health clinics in the area, bus routes, soup kitchens, just a variety. So just imagine if you have access to these resources, but you can make a list to help this sponsored family that you're sponsoring, this homeless family that you're sponsoring. What's some other thing? I'm giving you solutions. Now, we talked about the problem, so now let's talk about the solution. Look for programs that offer unemployment assistance and traditional housing. I mean, believe it or not, there's apartment complexes out there that have maintenance staff that they let them live in the complex for a reduced rate or even free. There's hotels that let some of their staff members live there. It's kind of like old school, kind of like you work for your room and board. You might not get a paycheck, but you might just work for your room and board. Or think about if you can afford as a small business owner, and you can afford to put somebody in even a studio apartment, but instead of giving them a paycheck, they work for room and board. But believe it or not, my family's out there that's homeless, or my family's out there who's choosing to help homeless people. You guys have to work together. So sometimes, and I had to go back to that clip, those people that they was interviewing, they was too ashamed to show their face. When it comes to needing help, sometimes you got to put your pride aside. I can remember years ago, I was going through a financial problem, and I had a girlfriend. She was willing to help me out, and my pride got in the way, and I wouldn't let her help me. And you know what she told me? She told me, Dwayne, your pride is going to kill you. And from that point on, I didn't have no problem asking for help from no one. Another solution, if you have access to Wi-Fi and an extra laptop or something, you know, you could, especially if you live in an apartment complex, go to your apartment complex and ask them, can you guys once a week have a little web cafe to help out people in the community? Or if you have a restaurant, maybe you can let, you know, homeless families come in and get on your Wi-Fi for free. These are just some suggestions. Other associations out there that can help you out. Believe it or not, HUD has different programs to help out the homeless. in the country. So these are just some helpful ideas and organizations that can help out with the rise of homelessness. But unfortunately, this rise of homelessness is going to continue in our country. And I'm telling you, the first thing that we have to do, I'm telling you, all of us, no matter if you're black, white, Asian, Hispanic, we're going to have to pretty much check our politicians. Then we have to stop supporting these corporations like the Walmarts and the rest of them. And I'm sorry for calling out names, but the truth's the truth. They're bleeding us dry. They're gutting us and leaving us on the side of the road to die. You know, I have like 6 minutes left in the show, so I'm going to go ahead and close the show out. But I'm going to play this last clip. And this is a homeless brother in Chicago, middle class, working man. But I just wanted to give you guys a reminder of, if you're out there that need help, don't be ashamed to ask for help. But there's someone out there tomorrow asking for help. Don't push them aside. Don't call them terms bum or go get a job bum. Think about it, because the majority of us in this country, we're two paychecks away from being that person standing on the corner of any big major city or even rural city in this country asking for a little help. So people, and never think it couldn't be you. Don't always think it's going to be the other person, because it easily can be you. I'm going to go ahead and close out tonight's show. And like I tell you guys every night, knowledge is not power. The use of knowledge is power. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and I'm out. You've been listening to Moving Forward here on GeyserRadio.com. Well, listen to this clip of this homeless brother that was homeless, not because he chose to be homeless, but let's just show how humble we need to start being in our community and also Americans. Have a good night. God bless. And please stay warm.
My name is Ronald Davis. I've been on the street for about a year and a half now. Well, I come from the suburbs of life, you know, which is rough. And, I mean, I didn't sleep in the little whacker. I didn't sleep on the bridges. I didn't sleep in little cardboard boxes and stuff, you know, just surviving, especially in the wintertime is the hardest time. And, like, I go to fill out applications for a job and stuff. They look at me, you know, I'm not looking presentable. And then they, well, we'll call you, leave a number. But how can I leave a number when I don't have a phone? So it's just a struggle out here, you know. I just, you know, from day to day, people, I come out here and panhandle with my cup right here at the Metro train station. People come off, bringing me sandwiches and stuff like this here. And I start out in my morning about 6 o'clock. You know, sometimes I don't even have enough to go to the flop house. You know, sometimes the flop house is a cheap place, and they number $16 for 24 hours right over there on Clark and Van Buren. And a lot of times I don't have enough money for that, so I had to end up sleeping in the park or on one of these benches downtown or something like this. And then the security guards come and run you off about 5 or 6 in the morning. So by 6 o'clock I started panhandling and trying to survive. And like I said before, some days I don't even have enough to get a room, so I just sleep on the street. But I depend on the people that's coming off the train, because most of them I give them respect. You know, most of them like me. They come out and give me clothes and food and stuff like this here, so I can survive. Give me a few bucks and everything, and I add it up at the end of the day and get me a little room for the night. And whenever I'm not fortunate enough to get the room, I just sleep in the street wherever I can. It's really humiliating to be shaking a cup 24 hours a day, and people just look at you like you're some kind of little bum, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I have had people to walk past me and say, get a job, bum. And I said, wait a minute, I'm not a bum, I'm a human being. And it's hard. But after the end of the day, when people go home, And you better get on the message train. And then my... And then I just feel so bad that I can't be going on. You know? I mean, I'm sorry. But it's really emotional because I'm really trying to get myself together and get off this tree. You know? And I don't care what it's doing. If I can get a job and through this humidity, you know, I mean, you just lose all your humility when you're shaking a cook bacon. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can look at a person and tell if they gain your respect or not. You know what I mean? A lot of people look at you like you're just a piece of crumb, you know? I had one guy walk past me and talk about me so bad, and then I just looked at him. I said, God bless you, sir. He walked past and went down the street, come right back. And he said, you know what, man, I had a bad day. He said, I'm sorry for even calling you that. He said, because I know you're a human being. He said, would you accept my apology? I said, apology accepted. He went in his pocket and gave me $30 and said, go get you a room and get you something to eat. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, no matter what people think about me, I know I'm a human first. And just because I'm down on my luck, don't give nobody no excuse to call me no bum, because I'm not.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.